Welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Josh and Anna Gresham.
It's good to be back.
It is. It is so good to be back. A new season of the Journey Together.
We've been on a journey. No, it's we too cheesy. Have been, is that
we,
too much?
Yes. We have been on quite the journey. Let's catch up everyone to where we've been and what we've done.
Go. All right. We went to Rome.
We did.
And Florence for our 20th wedding anniversary, which we had the best time.
Yes.
I ate a croissant every morning for breakfast, and it made me so happy. And I had a margarita pizza for lunch every single day, and of course some special pasta. It was...
Let's go back a little bit. We did, years ago, we did a program called 75 Hard, and so we decided to do it again before this trip in order to not feel guilty as we ate ourselves across Rome.
Yeah.
And I have gained all of that weight back now since 75 Hard. And so we will be doing 75 Hard again here soon.
You're crazy.
But yes.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing 75 Hard again.
But we did eat our way across Rome.
It was glorious. We also, of course, had holidays. If you don't know us, we've got four kids. Our oldest is in college. They're at UNC in Chapel Hill. Yep. And we have a junior, a freshman, and a seventh grader. It's interesting, these teenage years.
Done it
I
all.
Really thought that I would have just some different time when the kids became teenagers. And I thought, oh, when they're teenagers, I'm going to go to the gym at nighttime and work out and do all these things. And I'm going to have so much energy. That's not true.
Negative.
That has not been happening. I am hopeful. Do you feel like the last couple of years that you and I have kind of gotten out of our normal rhythm? Like we had to do 75 Hard because otherwise...
Yeah.
We didn't really want to do it. Is that just being in our 40s?
Lazy.
Is that, I know.
I got us off track talking about all the things we've done.
But then I started thinking about it.
I know, you need to stop.
I had a surgery in January. So that is also why we have been MIA.
MIA. And the holidays. And so we went to Rome. Then we had all the holidays, Thanksgivings and Christmases and all of those things.
Yeah.
Right. And then the surgery. All right.
I had a partial hysterectomy. And
don't tell me, tell them. You can tell them.
I know, but I
I know.
Joshua took the best care of
that
me.
That you had a partial hysterectomy. I've been on this journey along.
I'm 8 weeks out now and I'm feeling good. I feel empty. It's a good day.
Is that the right word?
I think it is.
Is this a future podcast that we need to discuss?
I think it is. I think we need to talk about it.
Because I have come across a lot of ladies who have been very thankful that you're willing to share your journey through this with people.
Right. It's a testimony for sure. And well, being led by the Holy Spirit through really challenging physical things.
But I don't think that you women talk about it enough. No. I think there's a generation where it was kept private.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I'm not for sure why.
Okay. Do you think that in this podcast, we have men that watch, husbands that listen as well, and wives, and you know, we've got a nice mixed group of people. Thank
yes.
you. Are the men going to listen to this? Or is it like earmuffs? They don't want to hear
with a partial hysterectomy?
Or just the female stuff? Because you would be in this with me. We'd talk about this together.
Yeah, I would talk about it. Obviously, I would talk about expectations, the process of, you know, maybe the responsibility of how or what you should do and what I would have done better or
hormone
whatever.
Changes with your wife through the seasons.
I'm not talking at all on any of that stuff.
I hit 40 years old and I thought I was in puberty again. I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, I'm not going to weigh in on that. I like to keep our podcast anger free and fight free a lot of times.
Oh my gosh. You know, there are some boundaries you just don't cross.
And that leads us to our podcast today, which is three boundaries you should not cross in marriage.
We actually have six boundaries because we have three that are funny.
Yes, because there's a lot.
There are a lot. Three that are serious. And it could be out of this podcast, you go, oh, yeah, that's true. But what about this? If you want to message us or even let us know a boundary that we didn't talk about today.
Yeah, put it in the comments.
Yeah, put in the comments. Let's talk about it. It's a great conversation.
There are so many boundaries that we're not going to discuss today. I mean, there are a lot. I'm actually the one who curated this podcast today.
Curated. Just keep going.
Curate.
No, just did I butcher it? Keep moving. I don't know anymore.
All right. We give up. Anyway.
You developed this podcast?
I developed this podcast. There and so I read it over with Anna, and she just kind of gave me a couple of looks. And then she gave me a couple of like, absolutely. So you may see or find or hear that there's more out there. And you have some yourself. Now, these are not, I do not want to use the word rules in a way of like, or the 10, like the commandments of your marriage.
Where it's so, you're so hard bent to the point where if anything happens, you just become angry with the situation. But let's address this. Why are boundaries good in general in marriage? I mean, what's the purpose behind? Because we live in a generation where people are setting boundaries almost to the extreme.
Extreme.
And I think there has to be a healthy balance, because then you'll have so many that then you live in this little tiny world all by yourself. And if anyone dares to touch your boundary, it's like an electric fence, and they will feel the heat. And I have an issue with that, because then it can go too far. I feel like this is where the Holy Spirit, it has to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So then you're operating in the love of God, which is the very foundation of our marriage and our relationships. And if you're not lining your boundaries up with what God has to say about your relationships, and you're just making things up.
Yeah.
Or if you haven't sought really good godly counsel with what you're going through, and you've just chosen to do this because maybe it's a fear or an insecurity, and what you think is a boundary is actually a stronghold.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. I think we should always be aware of our spouse's desires, needs, wants, all those things. So like, for instance, an example of a boundary could be either spouse having a particular area in the house that is their area. Man, their garage and tools. The women could be like a really cool, like artsy book reading area, and that's their space. And so if you were to come into the garage and move some tools around,
and mess your stuff up.
And mess stuff up. It's like, that is not a make or break. Like, those are boundaries that are like, hey, you know, this was like my space, and this is my stuff. And
that's just a healthy conversation of, you know, walking through.
Right, but it doesn't need
communication about
it. Right, it doesn't need to be creating this realm of, you can never come in here. This is my, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's ridiculous. Because that's, again, you're not operating from no longer two, but one. You're operating from two and only two, and never going to be one. And
but the three serious boundaries that we're going to talk about today are boundaries that are serious for a reason. Because if you do cross them, because you're a team, it's not like the hard part, if one person goes over the finish line before the other, if one person crosses something before the other, then you've left someone behind. Our goal is to not leave each other behind in life.
I'm to piggyback you through.
And I am to wheelbarrow you through. Okay.
All right.
Wait, I have a scripture I want to read before we get into this.
All right.
Or do you want me to read the scripture after the funny boundaries?
Let's do funny boundaries. All right. You get it up.
All right.
I got three funny boundaries just to lighten the mood, okay? Funny boundary number one. Don't eat your spouse's special snack without asking, especially the last one.
It's the truth. You know, I hide my special snacks in my mom cabinet.
You hide your special snacks from whom?
Everybody. No. Everyone.
I don't eat your special snacks.
But they're still hidden from everyone.
But they're not.
They're in that cabinet, and they are my special snacks from everyone.
I've been clean eating
after this whole hysterectomy and just really trying to be so healthy.
Right.
And I have some special snacks. Cohen, our second son,
he's the worst.
He ate all my special, like these healthy, you know, I like chips. Chips are my kryptonite in life. And I don't know if these chips are actually healthy, but the ingredients were clean and they were much healthier. He ate the whole thing.
I think you got it wrong.
Was like, what are you doing? You know, this is organic. I was so upset.
I'm not a superhero nerd, But I don't think that kryptonite is your, that's your weakness. That's Superman's weakness.
Yeah, when chips come around.
I don't think chips is your weakness. Oh, meaning I think like, that you treat it like.
I use that as a wrong analogy.
Yeah, like Superman's strength comes from the sun. So I think that your chips are like the sun. And that,
and they strengthen me?
Yeah, because they give you warmth.
I don't know. We're off.
And comfort.
We're way off.
So it's not your kryptonite because it doesn't make you weak.
Okay, you don't really care about snacks.
No, nope, not at all.
Now, all right, if someone ate all of those Ritz crackers and your hummus and you wanted it at bedtime.
Not at bedtime. Don't say it like bedtime. bedtime snack.
You would be a little upset.
Negative. I would not be upset because there's been multiple times there's none of it there because it's just not been bought or whatever, and I don't care. I will go do something else.
You know what? Some people are hardcore about their food.
I am not. Who will get the first bite?
You share your
food. Who gets
my
last bite?
I do. You'll give it to me.
I don't even care about food. So this doesn't really apply to me.
Do I care about food?
All right. Funny number two boundary. No talking through the bathroom door unless it's life or death situation.
This is an interesting, funny boundary for people. Women, if you have one kid, I don't care what age they are, that kid has either been in the bathroom, that kid's in the bathroom with you right now while you're listening to this, or talking to you through the door, fingers under the crack, sliding notes. That's another thought process that I've had to work through with teenagers. I thought, oh, when they get big, I'll go to the bathroom and I'll be left alone.
But this is a spouse boundary. You're going to children
because
on both
ones. Because I feel
like
it's a boundary. I know. My kids do this. I'm with them all the time. And they still talk to me through the door.
Spouse boundaries.
Okay, you talk to me through the door. And we're fine.
And you
fine.
Get really mad at me.
I just said we're fine.
No, we're not. You always get
you
mad.
You walk in and I'm like, I never walk in on you. Why are you walking in talking to me?
Because
you cross this boundary all the time.
I do cross this boundary all the time because you're in there longer than me. And I've just got to go quicker into the sink, grab something or whatever, and then I'm out.
You cross it all the time.
I don't linger.
Most women don't want to go in the bathroom when their husbands are in there.
Go. Sure. Yeah, no. I don't linger. If I have to go in there, it's because I was like, oh, I got to get this really quick. And so I do it, and then I'm out.
But I'm like, why can't I have bathroom time?
This was supposed to be
okay.
Funny.
All right.
We've turned it into a serious one.
I know it has. Go.
Number three, funny boundary. Never watch a show or ahead on a show you promised to watch together.
Okay. If you've picked out a show together and the other spouse already started the season.
Yeah, I've been upset with you.
You have. You really have. You're like, I wanted to watch this. Baby, no, we're going to watch this together. Yeah. I was like, I didn't know.
Like a movie.
So are these?
If I get home and I see that the movie's already been watched on Netflix because she was there that day and she decided to turn it on, and then she'll give me the lame excuse. Well, I just played it in the background. I didn't really watch it. I was folding clothes or I was doing this.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, okay, I thought of a boundary that's not on here.
What? We're not. What?
Razor. The razor boundary.
Yeah, boundary. That just needs to be subcategory bathroom.
Women using the men's razor.
Yes,
that is a big one. I've accidentally brushed my teeth with your toothbrush.
A number of times. I have never done that with yours. In front of my sink, my sink's on the left, there's actually like one of those ceramic holders and my toothbrush is in that. Hers is over there on her sink and yet she's grabbed mine.
And then I'll be like, it's happened and I'm like, oh no, it's wet. I've even tried to dry it off on a towel so you wouldn't know that I did it. Is that horrible?
We're moving this. To the top.
So are the
we now
funny...
have four boundaries in the serious
actually five,
category.
Actually five, because the razor one.
We just need to subcategorize it and say, this is bathroom stuff. My bathroom drawer
is
my bathroom drawer.
Wow.
All right, here we go. Three boundaries never to cross in marriage.
That are serious.
Number one. This is number one, actually, for me. The other ones are serious, but number one, no name calling.
Yeah. You guys, okay, let's get serious. I feel like we jumped into the serious quickly. So let me read scripture.
We needed to.
I know. Let me read scripture.
Okay.
Okay. The scripture I felt in my heart after you told me this, because I asked the Holy Spirit, like, what should we read that goes along with the boundaries? And it's out of Galatians chapter 5. And I want to read about the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. When I thought of these boundaries, I thought, really, boundaries should line up with living a life not only being led by the Holy Spirit, but walking by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
For each of us.
Yeah.
That you're letting your gentleness be known, that you're operating from a place of self-control. Like, no name calling is allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you, to sharpen you. Like, if you grew up in a household with name calling and you feel like this is a horrible habit, then you need to, one, repent, because it's an emotionally abusive habit towards your spouse.
Yeah.
And it's never okay. Name calling is never okay. It's not funny. Mm-mm. Even if your spouse is like, oh, they're joking, it's not a funny joke.
No, it's very demeaning. And I've actually heard spouses call their other spouse stupid. Like, they're stupid. Like, he is so dumb. And you're like, wow.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's really mean and ridiculous. And that's where it's like, no name calling.
And if it doesn't help, it hurts. If you're not saying it in love, there's an issue here. And this boundary is a boundary in your own heart of saying, Holy Spirit, help me to guard my tongue.
Yeah.
Help me to operate from that place of God's love. The Holy Spirit helps you to love people in the love of Christ, right? And you need to meditate on what godly and good words look like.
Yeah.
To bring health and healing. Good words bring healing to your marriage. Why would we want a name call?
Right. I think that, again, it's just your thinking and your speaking ill will of your spouse. And it's just like, it's not nice. And to say it to their face or even say it behind their back, it's just not kind. So being aware of what you're calling them. So counteracting, obviously, I like using, I call you Anna once in a blue moon, but I actually have those names for you that are like sweetie and baby and all those kind of things. And so those are my names that I call you because those are, it's endearing. Like I love you and I adore you and all those things. So those are the words. So it's just changing that verbiage. Now, you can't look at somebody and say it in a mean way. You're just a baby.
All right, that was weird. That got real weird real fast.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Wow.
All right.
We just went PG-13. No, that movie might be rated R.
I was like, no, what?
Dirty Dancing. Whatever. I can't remember. It was
I
like,
don't remember
it was like early ratings.
I only know that scene. All right, next boundary.
Okay.
Here we go. Boundary number two of the serious ones. Don't compare your spouse to others. Guard your thoughts against dissatisfaction.
Oh, gosh. If you are on any type of social media outlet,
Blah.
Then comparison is in the forefront of everything you see.
Yes.
And even then, I mean, it doesn't have to be social media. People roll into church and they look at people or couples that they think just have it all together and immediately feel like that their life or their marriage, pardon my French, sucks. And then you live in this pit of despair or dissatisfaction.
Right. You don't take ownership, and you should be taking ownership to make it different, make it better. Like you yourself, you'll just make excuses and blame the spouse or say, they can do this or whatever.
Okay, so how can we get out of comparison or living in a place of dissatisfaction with our spouse and our marriage?
How can we get out of that?
How can we get out of it? What can we do to get out of it?
I think changing the routine. So changing that atmosphere that you're in. If you're just living in your house all day, like you go to work and you give in your house, then it's like get out of the house a couple times.
Right. Don't be a lump on the log.
All right. Change it. Change it. Change the atmosphere by setting, obviously, the Word of God should be number one, but reading the Word of God, living in the Word of God throughout the day, in your home, what you're doing, take a praise break, turn on the worship music and worship together, put it on the house and just relax in the house together.
If you're talking to the Lord about your marriage, then, you know, God is your marriage's biggest fan. Yes. He is cheering your marriage on, and the Holy Spirit will remind you and encourage you of all the great things. And you say, well, there's not a lot of great things right now. Then he will speak vision and life into your marriage, breathe fresh life into your marriage so that you can see that there is an anointing on your marriage of you guys together. You guys, that's supernatural. That's from the power of God. I believe, because the Lord's done it in our marriage, where we've gone through challenging seasons and we've looked and we're like, oh my gosh, look at all that they're doing together, or look what they have, or look where they go. And the moment you stop and go, okay, first, God, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our marriage.
Yeah.
Right? I repent for being in this place of comparison. Repentance brings refreshing.
Yeah.
Then, Holy Spirit, one, show us how good our marriage is.
Right.
And then also, Lord, give us creative ideas to do fun things together. Show us how we can go do those things, and it's unique to what we do. One of the first things that we started doing in our marriage was we planned a marriage trip each year.
Yeah.
And it started off kind of small because we had four kids.
Yeah.
We had to split up the kids between grandparents. We moved away from family, so we kind of called in the babysitting for one big week, and we were able to divvy out the kids, which was so nice. But the intentionality behind leaving comparison, what everybody else was doing, to then doing what we wanted to do. And you know what's interesting? We started backpacking and hiking and camping together, and I would have people come up and go, that seems like a lot of work. Why don't you just go to the beach? Why don't you just go? Like, they would then try to down what we were doing, and I go, no, we have fun planning this. This is our thing.
Right.
There's always going to be a critic, right?
Yeah.
So you need to celebrate what God's doing in you. We like to walk. I celebrate that. We walk together and have the best time. If it's going and getting ice cream every Friday and that's your thing, don't downplay it. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is what God wants to do in your life. And those changing the atmospheres, I think for us, when the kids were little, one thing we had to do to change the atmosphere, we would put those kids to bed, turn on a Box fan so we wouldn't hear them. And it was when Redbox was ever so popular.
Right.
We would get a Redbox movie, make caramel popcorn. We made date nights each week.
House.
But we had a season we were not good at it. And comparison tried to, like, then we were not doing well. We had to get in and ask the Lord for help and become intentional with it.
Right. I think another big key, and I won't stay on this long, is, and we all harp on it, but that's the social media. I think it's stepping away from Pinterest, stepping away from Instagram, those feeds that could be feeding into your situation. So, like, being aware of that, because you do not want, you don't want to be fed with that stuff. That stuff, I mean, it will harbor, and you'll think the grass is greener on the other side, but it's not greener. And by no means is it greener.
Pray out what God can do in your life.
Yeah.
Write it down. Present it to the Lord. I went through a season where I thought, oh my gosh, we've never taken our kids to Disney. We are horrible parents. And that came from comparison of people going all the time. And that was social media. Then we ended up going to Disney, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now?
Something like that, yeah.
And we had a great time. And then we determined we were one and done. It's interesting how these things look like, oh my gosh, like I'm missing out on life. And then it might not actually meet the standard that you thought it was going to meet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
All right, third boundary, last one. Don't make large purchases or financial commitments without mutual agreement.
This boundary for me, I worded it in my terms of have financial accountability with one another.
Because her issue with that particular boundary was some people go, well, I don't do that. But they do it over a longer period of time with smaller items. So they have a small addiction or an unhealthy balance with finances where you're on on Amazon, you're buying 100 right. different items. There only might be $5 or $10 or $20 each.
You're going to CVS and purchasing all sorts of random makeup items. I can address the girls because I know how quickly it can escalate these small purchases.
Right.
And before you know it, you've spent an extra $400 to $500 out of the month of things that you go, well, we had the money, but it becomes a stressor, or it didn't feel that joy that you thought it would. You didn't need these things. Now your life is becoming cluttered, or it does become a habit of like, I have to do this when I'm dealing with hard emotions. That's the issue with finances. It's not just money.
Right.
Typically it's tied to something.
There's
in your
a
life.
Seed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you are using finances as a masking tool for something you're coping with, something that you're lacking, or it just makes you feel better. But then what happens is it's a landslide of financial debt, and you've got to be really careful because you don't want to bring your spouse into that with you. And yeah. now you're both responsible to pull yourself out of it. Therefore, closing doors of opportunity that would present itself for future fun things to do or financial stability. So you have to be really careful. So that's why it's important that you have a financial plan. You have a budget in front of you. You stick to it. You know how much you've got, how much should be left over at the end of the month, what you're spending that money on, what you're saving for, where is it going, and
your
what
dreams,
account.
Your goals,
yeah.
that you're in this together and you're having this conversation. There should never be an insecurity with one another and finances.
Right.
And if there is, then there needs to be greater communication and accountability with your finances.
Yeah.
There should never be an insecurity when it comes to how you speak to one another. There should never be an insecurity when it comes to any of these, you know, three boundaries that we've talked about.
Right.
And if you're like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming to me, that's a sure sign that you need to sit down and have a healing conversation.
Yeah.
About how you feel.
Yeah. I said this in a message recently, and that was, you've got to make sure that you're pointing to the well and not the fences. So to wrap this up, even though we started with telling you the fences, because here's the boundaries, that's where, and you know, we have funny boundaries, as we mentioned earlier. These serious ones, though, is you should be at the well, the living well, the living water well, that, you know, the Jesus well, that you're drinking from this well, so much so that you wouldn't even think about calling your spouse any other name but a name that is full of love and compassion and yeah. all of that. So you're drinking from the well, the living water well, and those are the words that are going to rise up out of you that are going to be love and peace and joy and, you know, all, blah, 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 gentleness. So that helps with those boundaries. You never even get to those boundaries. And that's where it's like when we talk about, you know, comparison, you're not going to be thinking about comparison because you're living in so much love with Jesus Christ and your spouse at the same time. If you're both living in the well and pointing to the well for one another, you're going to have words of love and compassion and not full of comparison and of...
Well, we don't have this.
Right.
And let me say this too. If you go, oh, well, I don't say those things to my spouse, but do you say it to your friends about your spouse? Do you say it to people in just casual conversation? This is where the Holy Spirit will check your heart on the God. Here's the thing. God hears it all. We're not hiding anything from him, right? I want to say verse 26 again out of Galatians 5. And my encouragement, get your Bible, read through Galatians chapter 5 and meditate on what this looks like of being led by the Holy Spirit, walking by the Holy Spirit and through his power. Whenever Jesus ministered to the woman at the well, the Holy Spirit exposed what needed to be exposed so that she could get healed and restored. It yeah. wasn't for condemnation or shame or guilt. It was so that she could live an abundant life in Christ. So when God brings you to this place of exposure and healing and rest, it's so that you can you can enjoy what he's blessed you with.
Yeah.
So verse 26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. There is a warning here. And when I think of this podcast, I look at it as a warning of like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know?
Right. Yeah, I'm reading a book. I'm not ready to recommend the book yet, so I want to finish reading, so I'm not going to tell you where it's from. But they quote G.K. Chesterton, and I love what this quote is, because this goes back to comparison. There are two ways to get enough. One is to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less.
Oh, I like that.
Right. So it's like not in a sense of contentment to where you're not living out your hopes and dreams, but in the sense of, hey, you know what? Having those items or having these things doesn't bring happiness to us.
You know, John 3:30 is one of my favorite scriptures, and it says, he must increase, but I must decrease.
Yeah.
I feel like the desiring less and less is the desiring less and less of the things of this world, of my own selfish ambition or whatever I deem is, you know, best, to then, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life and you increase in what you're doing. And boundaries are not to keep people out of your life. It's to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work inside of you so that you are mentally and emotionally and physically healthy and strong.
Yeah.
And then you can love those people and the way that the Lord wants you to love them, yeah. Right?
All right. What's your step right here? Your step is to get out there and change the room that you live in. Change the environment that you're loving one another in. To be there to support one another, to encourage one another, not to discourage one another. So I would encourage you to get together, have some conversations about this, talk about some boundaries, talk about some funny things to make it lighthearted, but get there, get to the point where you're going to the well and you're drinking from the living water.
And having good fruit. Right? I want my fruit to be, you want to have good
100%
fruit? 100%. That was a big pause. You're thinking about it.
You guys are awesome.
Hey, we love you guys.
We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for joining. Share with a friend.
Share, love, like, whatever it is.
We love y'all.
You guys are awesome.